Danny West of HawkSports.com. Danny, good afternoon. How are things?
Afternoon, buddy. Things are well. How's everything in the Rock today?
Well, we're talking about the 1994 National Championship team. Today is the anniversary of that game. Do you remember where you were?
I do. I was at my grandpa's house. I was probably 8, 9 years old and just going berserk in the living room. Great, great memory.
I think there were a lot of people that went berserk in the living room. We've got a full call board, Danny. We're going to get to them in just a second. But first, I want to get your thoughts on Bobby Portis last night in the McDonald's All-American game.
Yeah, I thought he showed well. I thought, today a lot of people writing about Bobby across the country. What do you have, 10 points? Is that
12.
What he finished with?
12 points.
12 points. He really did that in a short amount of time, in my opinion. I thought highly productive night for him and really showed well for Arkansas. I tell you, the kid that I really liked is the MVP going to Arizona. He really stood out to me. But, for the most part, I thought Bobby was everything I thought he'd be. Very impressive night for Bobby.
Yeah, he's real smooth looking when he's out there, and that's I like to see that in players still being able to play at a fast pace, but play smooth. What about, we had some live fan feedback earlier about the Jalen James point guard out of the school in Indiana that's playing on ESPNU right now, and I believe we're looking at him to offer him a scholarship. Have you seen any of that game today, or what's the latest on him?
Haven't seen the game today. I am aware that they've offered him. I know some people say they're close to offering. In my opinion, I think they have offered. But I do think that offer is probably a little bit conditional right now based on, Desmond Lee, I think, is their top target at guard. And so they're going to kind of wait and see if they can get a visit out of him, kind of where they stand with him. And then I think they make a strong move on James if they strike out there. From everything I know about him, true point guard, 6'2", 180. Tulane and Western Kentucky have also offered. But again, I think you got to wait on Desmond Lee and see what he does and then go from there.
All right, let's go to Will in Monticello. Will, thanks for holding. Welcome to Overtime. And maybe Will is with us, maybe he's not. Let's try Mark in the Rock. Mark, welcome.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Love the show. Hey,
thank you.
Take a trip down memory lane. Y'all remember on the championship run when we came back the next year, just to tell you how much luck is actually involved, we played Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
Great player by the name of Lawrence Moten. He pulled a Chris Webber and called a timeout.
Yep.
You guys remember that?
I do.
Because of that, we won the game. UCLA, Tyus Edney, they play Missouri. What does he do? He runs down the floor in like 3 seconds and makes a layup.
Yep.
That phantom run that no one could believe he made. And I remember they replayed it over and over and over for like a week. This is such a big play. They win that game. Either one of those plays go the other way, either one of those teams make the championship game.
Now, you think about it, guys,
yeah. Arkansas had such a good run in the 90s. Even, we played UCLA, and yeah, they beat us. But remember who we played against? They had Charles and Ed O'Bannon. George Zedek.
They had a guy named Toby Bailey.
Let's not forget about him. I mean, they had an awesome team. And guess who had the best career out of all those guys and Lawrence Moten?
Corliss Williamson.
And I hate to say it, I don't think they gave Scotty as bad as – I mean, he was such a good player, and he had such good court awareness. The poor guy just didn't get a fair shake.
I don't think he did either.
Career.
Yep.
Than any of those other guys. If he could have just – you got to remember, he tried out for the New Jersey Nets. Well, guess who was on that team that year?
Was it Kerry Kittles, Jason Kidd, Keith Van Horn?
I
don't know if Stackhouse was there, but they had they were the team eventually right then. They were going to the finals and getting beat a couple times in the NBA. They had a loaded team.
That's right. They had a loaded team. And I think if someone else would have given Thurman a shot – I mean, he wasn't the fastest guy on the court, but if you remember back then, a lot of guys weren't fast. If you could shoot, I mean, he had the awareness on the court.
I agree with you. He was just as fast as a John Paxton and a Steve Kerr. I mean, could do that.
Taller, and the shot was just as good. And it's proven, Duke wasn't the only clutch shot he had. I mean, come on. He had lots of good clutch shots. He was a great player. I hate the fact that he didn't get the chance. If he'd come out in the championship year, like you said, he would have been a first-round pick. you know, he probably would have had a long career. And, you know, remember Dickie Vitale, I remember in the early 2000s, he said Arkansas in the 90s had the most dominant team. And I would love to see us get back to that again. And I think we will. I think this Portis kid is going to be a good player. And I think, you know, I think Anderson is building a good team the right way. I think we'll be back there again, guys. I really do.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you. I was looking at some results. They were listing the last, 60 national championship teams and where their order would be in history. And they had Arkansas's national championship team as the 17th best team overall. I thought that was pretty fair. You know, I would think they would be a little better, but to be up there 17th as far as the best team, because always the best team does not win the national title in that tournament. You have to get lucky, like the last caller just said, a couple plays go this way or this, you lose. And so you have to get lucky to win. But to say they're the 17th best national championship team in history, I thought that was pretty fair.
Of the 75?
Of however many that's won it, yeah. They were 17th.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would say.
That's big time, man. To be top 20?
Yeah, and so I thought that was pretty fair.
You're in the what, the upper 20% of it?
But they had some older teams, too, a couple older teams that were ahead of them. I know the Florida, 2007 team was probably one of the best ones. They had a couple other ones that I thought we would be better than.
Well, UNLV, obviously, was better than the 94 team.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. A Duke team, a Carolina team was up there, a Kansas team was up there.
The Duke team with Leitner and Hurley?
No, it was the one with Battier.
Shane Battier.
That crew, yeah. That had six NBA players on it. That was a stud team. And I'm trying to think of some of the other teams. I don't know if the Rasheed Wallace North Carolina team, did they win a national title?
No.
They didn't win one. What was the year? Was Stackhouse there when they won one?
I don't think he ever
Stackhouse
won.
Stackhouse was with Rasheed.
Yeah, he was.
Kind of together. They mixed a little bit, I think. Mm-hmm. But I thought they won one right around there.
I think Rasheed was on the team that Arkansas beat.
He was.
Yeah,
he was on that
95.
Team.
Yeah, he was.
Come on, Danny, don't you remember some of this?
Hey, now you're talking over my head. I don't know. I don't go back quite that far. Sorry.
Let's go to Chris in the Rock. Chris, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks a lot. That 96 Kentucky team was pretty salty, too, that won it.
That was a top five team, I think, that they had on the list. Yeah, Tony Dell.
Their starting five all were pro guys, and they were low. Think about this, though. From 94 through 97, you know, Arkansas 94, 95, Kentucky won at 96, runner-up in 97. That was a good four-year stretch of dominance between those two. Those are some really, really good teams.
Yeah, you're right.
I'll tell you what, though, you were talking, Trey, about the 95 season, and I certainly remember that Syracuse game. Also remember that first game against Texas Southern. Arkansas didn't play particularly well.
They didn't play good at all.
Do you have those scores handy from that run, the 95 run?
Yes, I sure do. And I want to tell you also that that season didn't start well because they played UMass.
And got blown
out. At the beginning of the year and got blown out.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I was hoping that if you had those scores handy from that tournament run, I would love to hear it. And I'm going to get off here so you guys can talk. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you. We'll do it right now.
Danny, while he's looking that up.
I've got it.
Okay, go ahead.
Texas Southern Arkansas won 79-78. Yes, 79-78. Syracuse Arkansas wins 96-94 in overtime. Then they played Memphis and won 96-91 in overtime. Then played Virginia and won 68-61. Then played North Carolina, won 75-68. That was at the Final Four in Seattle, and then lost to UCLA 89-78. But that year it started against UMass. They lost 104-80.
Mm. And you know, if that game's not in Seattle, maybe if it is in Texas or somewhere where
more Razorback fans could easily get to,
that might have helped.
UCLA game might have been different.
Danny, can you update us on spring ball? And I believe that they interviewed the offensive coach last time.
Jim Chaney, Tuesday night, and I guess you get to talk to Chris Ash tonight.
Correct. Yeah, we talked to Chaney on Tuesday. You know, they're a long way from where they want to be, I think. as far as discipline and stuff like that, still cleaning up a lot of stuff. But I do think they're taking strides and becoming more physical. You know, of course, that starts up front. They move Bray Cook to right guard. Grady Allison's inserted at right guard or right tackle as the starter. But the big move there, in my opinion, is getting Mitch Smothers back at left guard. I think that's really a big key for them. Of course, Mitch last year kind of had a strange redshirt season as a sophomore, true sophomore. Came back strong, did everything they've asked him to do, so he's back in a starting role. So I think that helps them. I really like that first-team offensive line. I do think Allison is probably going to have to pick up another 15 pounds in a short amount of time this summer. But a lot of bodies to work with there. I mean, we haven't even mentioned John McClure at left guard and Cordell Boyd at right guard, a couple of backups there, and I think they could probably step in and help if needed. But, you know, the quarterback competition, still kind of the early processes of it. Bielema did say last Saturday that Brandon Allen is a little bit ahead of Brandon Mitchell, and I would probably agree at this point. Brandon had a couple of throws in the scrimmage Saturday that he probably wish he had gotten back. But for the most part, he was pretty consistent and you know, hitting open receivers and everything. But that's kind of where we stand right now. We'll find out more about the defense today. You know, of course, the strength up front is where it's going to be at.
Defensive line, yeah.
Defensive line. They've got a lot of bodies, and that really stood out to me Saturday. You saw a ton of guys, different guys making plays. You know, Horace Arkadai had a sack and a pass breakup. Dietrich Wise, two sacks. DeMarcus Hodge had a tackle for a loss. And then, of course, you're not even mentioning Byron Jones, Chris Smith, all of your starters. So that's kind of where it's at right now. Still kind of doing some experimenting at linebacker, but for the most part, I think they're happy with where they're at. It's just a really slow process in the early going.
Let's go to Cabot and talk to Coach Steve Roberts. Coach, how are you?
Hey guys, how are y'all doing today?
Doing good.
I hear y'all been talking a lot about golf lately, and today is certainly a day to talk about it because you're not going to be playing it.
It is a little wet.
It is a little wet. Obviously, sports have been a big part of my life and a great opportunity to have an impact on young people. And I want to invite all your listeners to have an opportunity to impact young people through sports by participating in a golf tournament. The FCA here in Central Arkansas, we're hosting the Frank Broyles FCA Golf Tournament coming up on April the 29th out at Eagle Hill. It's a great opportunity to be with Coach Broyles. I think each group will have an opportunity to take a picture with him and more importantly, benefit the young people in Central Arkansas through their participation in FCA. So just wanted to plug that and see how you guys are doing.
We're doing good, Coach. First off, is there a number or a website that people can go to if they want to participate?
Absolutely. The phone number is 501-209-2578, and if you want to email somebody for more information, email Chuck Beal at cbeale at fca.org. C as in Chuck, Beal, Beale at fca.org. Chuck is our new director here in Central Arkansas, and he's doing a fantastic job, and just trying to get the word out about that. If people are interested in coming to the dinner on Saturday night, it's a little different than it's been in the past, but it'll be a dinner. Coach Barry Lunny Jr., Coach Kim Horton will be the featured speakers, plus a couple of kids, athletes from Central Arkansas will be speaking. Just a great opportunity. I know that's filling up fast as we speak, but still needing people to come and participate in the golf tournament. Again, we're being told that Coach Broyles will be here and take pictures with everybody. They're giving away an opportunity to win a trip, a $15,000 trip to Scotland, a golfing
wow.
trip to Scotland. So sounds like something that you could do, Trey.
Well, yeah, but I would probably lose my amateur status.
You might lose. Yeah.
I don't know. Going to Scotland, I might give it up for a couple of years for that.
You bet. We have some good prizes going on, and again, all of that's great, and you know, it'd be a great day, hopefully, for golf, a lot better than what we're experiencing today. But the most important thing is, you know, just being involved in SCA and knowing that you're having an impact on kids' lives and participating and playing in a golf tournament. You know, what else could you do that's easier than that that impacts kids' lives?
And the main thing, Coach, is it should be a little bit warmer as well.
Hopefully so. Hopefully by the end of this month, things are going spring will finally get here.
We hope so. Coach, thanks so much, and we'll plug it a couple more times throughout the month.
Well, we appreciate you very much, and you guys do a great job, and appreciate all you do for the kids here all around this state.
Thank you, Coach Roberts. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Uh-huh. Thank you. That's Steve Roberts, Cabot Athletic Director, joining us here on Overtime. We've got Danny West. If you've got a question or comment for him, 1-800-477-1037, 433-1037. Let's go to Jason and Bryant. Jason, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, guys. Thank you all. Danny, I was going to ask you a couple things here. I wanted to ask you about some brothers of members or former members, mainly Raymond Wingo, and then you mentioned Dietrich Wise. That guy, first off, he's going to be awesome. I think you said he's probably the third best DN we got right now, but I definitely see him being a future All-SEC DN. I know that's saying a lot for guys not even starting, but he is a monster. And then his little brother, too, I was going to ask you about his. I think his name's Daniel, right?
Right. Yeah, Daniel.
How much of a chance does he have to be offered? Would it offering him help us with the Rogers kid from, you know, that's going to be a junior next year from Hebron, Texas as well, who I don't know if you mentioned him on there today, but, you know, he's everybody thought Arkansas would, I wouldn't say a lot, but he's a big hog fan. Well, Texas just offered him, I'm sure. You know, I don't know if you've already told them that, but Texas offered him. And like you say, it's hard to get a kid from Texas, but this isn't a normal kid either. He really likes the Hogs. And if you just give everybody the updates on that and then talk to him about the St. Louis Rivals camp coming up and how good Ty Story, Race TV, and all them are, if you don't mind. Thanks for Danny.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, buddy. Yeah, appreciate the call, Jason. Yeah, I'll start with Raymond Wingo from St. Louis, a cornerback, senior this fall. Obviously got the same last name as Ronnie, and that's actually his little brother. Wingo's got a lot of solid offers so far. They're coming in every other week now. He's a kid I really feel like Arkansas is going to have a pretty good shot at, simply because of Ronnie, and of course Ronnie stuck it out here and had a pretty decent career. And brought Raymond down a lot. Raymond's really familiar with Fayetteville and likes the area a lot. So Arkansas has already told Wingo that he's the top target at his position, which in my opinion would be cornerback, but he's kind of an athlete who can do different things for you. I think they've got a really good shot at him. As far as Daniel Wise, the younger brother of Dietrich, it's really too early to say whether or not Arkansas is going to get involved there. I would say there's a chance simply because they've got his older brother on campus, and of course Daniel has a couple of offers from Baylor and I want to say TCU schools like this in Texas, so we'll keep an eye on that. And I do think it would probably help with Zach Rogers. I know Rogers is really close to the Wise family, but then again, like you said, Texas just offered. That's going to be really difficult to get a Texas kid that Texas wants. But in this case, I think it's a little bit different in that Arkansas is the first school that really offered Zach, so I think he's really appreciative of that. I know his family loves Fayetteville, loves Arkansas and the new staff, so they're going to have a really good chance regardless of who else offers, in my opinion.
Danny, I wanted to ask you, let's go back to last Saturday's scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
The adjustment that the players have made from the previous staff to this staff, in your mind, what adjustments did they make? Or what you were able to see, what adjustments have they made?
That's a good question. You know, right now, I think it's I don't want to say it's a really relaxed practice or anything like that, but I think just the simple fact that it's a little more laid back and they're really teaching them really slow and not leaving anybody behind, I think that's one of the biggest things that stood out to me. Again, I think they're going to be a much more physical team. You know, you look at Patrick Arenzi, who jumps in at running back last week, an unknown fullback who walked on, and carries it 8 or 9 times against first-team defense. And there's some serious hitting going on with that guy. You know, he's 250-plus pounds. And I think there's a reason behind that. I think they said, hey, let's put this guy in there, and you either tackle him or he's going to kill you. And, you know, they did a pretty good job of tackling him. But I think more than anything, they're running a lot of power stuff right now, inside run stuff, and just trying to become more physical.
All right, Danny, we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, sounds good.